Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn how to communicate like the world's greatest leaders. Welcome, everyone, to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast here with TK Stratton. I'm Chad Kirby, and we are going to be jumping into a subject today that's going to give you the power and ability to connect with people. Now, remember, at the end of the day, the key to the communication or successful communication is having that ability to connect. And if you connect with someone, then you really, that's when magic happens. TK, we've seen it in all the businesses that you and I have been involved with, that when you begin connecting with people, whether it be your employees, whether it be your staff, whether it be potential clients or current clients, if you have the ability to connect with them, then that's when magic happens. And, you know, TK, you and I were joking about this. It's easy to connect with people that agree with you all of the time. True?
Absolutely. You can feel like it, but if they're, yeah, sometimes.
But TK, if the challenge really comes when someone may have what we call an objection, or what anyone in sales or anyone trying to get somebody to do anything, if someone objects to it, overcoming that objection really gives you the opportunity to dig deeper in the connection category. Because if you can overcome objections effectively, it will in fact deepen the connection with the people that you're working with your current clients and customers, and with those potential clients and customers. And so, TK, as we dive in today, we're going to talk about overcoming objections in a way that really deepens the connection that you have with people so that you can become that successful communicator.
Let's do it. This is great. This is a good one.
Absolutely. And TK, there's the one thing that you and I have talked about specifically over the years is that Boulder principle. And the Boulder principle is something that TK and I cover in the book, but also when we're out doing trainings. And it's the recipe to overcoming objections, enabling you to create connection.
And yeah, Chad, this was something that really connected with me. So I think this is really good for everyone to be able to visualize this. This really registered with me when you taught this principle. So I'm excited for you to explain it. But when you think about this principle, when dealing with conflict or, you know, someone coming at you with an objection, this is a really good visual. So this was really good for me and helped me really, you know, we talked about connection. I really connected with this. It registered well with me. And so I think this is a big thing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, TK, we talk about objections. And the reason why we call it the Boulder principle is because when anyone is giving you an objection, now keep in mind, this is important to remember that we are all in sales all of the time. And that's something that TK, that you really teach to all of your members of your team, whether they're in actual sales or not. And that is that we're all in sales. We're trying to get people to take some form of action. Right. In fact, TK, you can, and I certainly don't want to marginalize parenting, but parenting is almost the ultimate sales. You know, you're trying to get your kid to do things. And when you think about an objection that somebody might have, whether it be a member of your team or a potential client or customer or a current client or customer, it's as though they're throwing a boulder down the hill at you.
Right.
And TK, what's the biggest mistake everyone makes whenever that boulder's coming down the hill?
You know, this was where it really registered well with me, because I've noticed I've made this mistake a lot of times. We try and get in front of it, you know, and try and block it and say, oh, no, that's not how this goes or anything else. And try to avoid that it's even there. So we try and block it, but also avoid it, you know,
right.
And try and make ourselves believe, hey, that doesn't exist. That boulder's not there. But I'm going to put my hands out and try and stop it anyways and pretend it's not there.
Well, and you brought up two very interesting points there, TK, because that's what happens most of the time. When it comes to an objection, people have typically, not always, but one of two reactions. And the first one, TK, you mentioned there was they pretend it's not there, right? So they go, oh, your pricing's too high, and you just ignore it and you keep going. Or right. An employee has an objection with something and you just ignore it and keep moving forward. That's one way that you mentioned there, ignore it. The other one is to just stand in front of it and try and stop the boulder, and by simply saying, no, that's not true. Right? No, that's not true.
Right.
Hey, I asked for this color of paint, but I got this color of paint. No, that's not true.
No,
you know? And you try, you literally try and change their mind and stop the boulder
right.
from rolling down the hill.
But
but the key, TK, comes when you actually acknowledge the boulder. And when someone says something and they object to whether it be your pricing or your services or what you, anything you've asked them to do, you have to acknowledge it so that they feel like they've been heard. And that is the most important thing you can do when it comes to dealing with objections, is simply acknowledging the objection. And TK, just throwing this question at you, why do you think people are so hesitant to acknowledge the boulder when it's rolling down the hill?
You know, I think maybe I speak for a lot of us, at least myself, when that happens, we sometimes don't want to admit that we were wrong or that, you know, admit that a mistake was made. And so we try and defend ourselves, you know, by protecting something. Maybe there's a financial motive. So, you know, you don't really say what really happened or will admit it. You know, that happens a lot of times rather than just really opening up the conversation. You know, Kirby, you're really good at this. You know, what do you do when you've had someone really come at you? And I've watched you, you know, you've helped us deal with really difficult customers, and we put you on the phone and help you kind of defuse the situation. What have you found as the most critical way to do that? You know, how, because that's hard when you're put in a situation, someone is coming at you, yelling at you, telling you that you did all this wrong. You know, what have you found works for you?
Well, and TK, I just emphasize the point that of really listening and acknowledging their frustration or their objection, as we're talking about it here now, because you, to your point, what you just said a moment ago is exactly right. Let's use a sales presentation, just for example, for simplicity purposes. When we give a sales presentation, we've worked on this presentation, we've figured out our verbiage, we've got our pacing, we've got all this nailed down, so that when someone comes back with an objection, and especially perhaps an objection we don't hear very often, we're almost irritated that they have this objection, because we're like, dude, I just nailed this presentation. You're stupid if you don't buy into this, right? And so it's really stopping, and as you often talk about, just remove your ego and listen closely to what they're saying, and then acknowledge it. Because TK, a lot of people think, well, I'm listening, they hear me, but if you're not acknowledging it, they don't truly know that you've heard them. You know, I lived in Norway for a couple of years, TK, and you know, it's interesting, the Norwegians, they, during the course of a conversation, they will add tidbits along the way. And what I mean by that is, you'll say, hey, no, I don't really like soda. And they'll say, no, no. And then you'll say, I love going out to eat. Yes, yes. And they interrupt you by saying yes and no during the conversation. And when I first got to Norway, I was like, that's so annoying. But then, so I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And they kept stopping and saying, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm like, yes. And they're like, then why aren't you engaging in this conversation? Well, when you're overcoming objections and you're engaged, TK, and acknowledging the objection, then you can begin to overcome the objection. Because TK, too often, when someone starts to share an objection, we almost become unengaged and we're just like, okay, hurry and get this over with. Let's move on so that I can resell them again. Right. Instead, we need to acknowledge that that boulder, acknowledge the objection. So here we have an objection. Here it is. Acknowledge it. That's the very first thing you do.
So just making sure everyone's clear on this. So you're saying that the boulder as it's rolling down the hill is the objection.
Absolutely. It okay. absolutely
so the
is.
Boulder is the objection. So this objection is rolling down at you.
That's right. And that image, TK, is so powerful because it's this huge boulder coming at you, right? And if you don't acknowledge it, and then first of all, as you mentioned earlier, too many people try and stand in front of it and try and stop it, or they stand in front of it and ignore that it's not there, right? But you acknowledge that. Then the second thing, now there are three steps to this, TK, three steps. And the first one, as we've talked about, is acknowledging that boulder. Step number two then is asking a question. So once you've acknowledged the boulder, you have to ask the question. And TK, this is one of your strong suits. You are so good at asking questions. Because what happened, TK, why ask the additional questions?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to really get clarity. You know, and you've helped coach us through this a lot, Chad, you're really good at this, but you know, asking questions, I found there's a lot of times just misunderstandings. So things that we thought were a boulder or an objection, we immediately go to our defense mechanism and just think it's, oh, I better argue about this. I better fight about this, rather than asking the question, oh, really? Tell me more. Or can you please explain that to me? And a lot of times what they explain, it was, we talk about paint colors. No, it was paint for another part of the project or whatever. Or it was something that just wasn't clear. And we immediately go to the defense side rather than if we just look at this neutrally, keep our emotions out of it. That's what I've really had to work on. And I think a lot of us do that because as soon as someone says, hey, that's the wrong paint color. Oh, really? Okay. Explain that to me. You know, even that simple question, they can then say, oh, well, that was over here. Maybe you really were unclear, or maybe there was just a misunderstanding and there was really nothing to argue about or anything to even defend yourself about. At least that's what I've experienced a lot of times. Or that may be the issue, but at least you're starting to let them vent back on you and explain it to you and let them know that you're listening. So as soon as you let them know that you're listening and that they are important to you, making it about them, that's where I found it really helped me. Because naturally I've really wanted to go to the defensive side and say, oh no, that's what you picked, you know, or this is what you did, or no, that's what we agreed upon, you know, rather than saying, oh really, explain that to me, what happened? And just in the right tonality and in the right way, not a defensive tone, because we've been talking about the nonverbal about that, but in the right tone, open tone rather than defensive, listening. And a lot of times there's nothing to argue about. Most of the time I found there's really nothing to argue about, or they just needed to express something. And once you let them express it, then you can talk through it. And usually it's just a misunderstanding, you know?
Well, and TK, you bring up a great point there, because for so many years, you were dealing in the restoration business. And when you talk about something that's an emotional experience, you're talking about somebody's home. And that's as close to the heart as you can get without being a heart surgeon, right? Like you are dealing with a very sensitive subject to them, which is their house, right? They had their house, maybe it was their dream home, or it was a home that they'd worked so hard to get. And then all of a sudden they have a flood, they have a fire, or whatever it might be. And then your company, your organization would come in and fix the home, repair it. And then sometimes, and work really hard to do it. I mean, your standards were so high in your restoration company. And then when someone would question something, it would become very easy for a member of your team to get defensive because they'd work so hard and they'd say, oh, I don't like the way this cabinet looks. And if you weren't careful, TK, one of your project managers would hear, I don't like the way your cabinets work or look. Yeah. And then they'd start going, are you kidding me? The cat, yeah. And then, rather than just pausing and ask and suggesting, like you said, just asking questions to gain that clarity.
Right. I think that's how you earn people's trust, you know, and this is something that we all have to work on. You know, when those situations happen, really backing off and keeping your emotions out of it. Warren Buffett talks a lot about this, you know, keeping your emotions out of situations, because that's when things really blow up that don't need to blow up, you know. But I don't, your visual on your boulder, that was always really powerful for me, just envisioning this person coming at me with this objection, and I can stand in front of it and I'm just going to get plowed over. And I've been plowed over a lot. I've been plowed over plenty of times in my life to where that's not fun, and it hurts. And I think a lot of people listening have probably experienced the same thing. It hurts, you know, rather than that first part of acknowledging it and asking a question. So after you acknowledge it and ask a question, Chad, then what does that look like?
Well, then you have to let it roll. But the key to letting it roll is twofold, TK, in comments that you just made right there that I want to just double click on.
And you mean letting the boulder roll by you, right? Like,
yes.
Like how do we get out of the way of that thing?
Yeah, well, this is how you do it. The first way is, you mentioned something that is really important, is when you, the only way the boulder will roll by you is if you do steps one and two. Because if you do step one and acknowledge the boulder, and then step two and ask that question, then step three, the boulder will roll by. But TK, you mentioned something really important there. And that is, when you ask those questions, you cannot be condescending. You have to be very genuine and authentic in how you ask those questions, so that people feel like you're truly asking questions for understanding. And you're not just being condescending, which is very easy to do, right? Because oftentimes people know very little about what you're talking about, and it could be very easy to become condescending and critical, right? Yeah. And so you can't be condescending. But when you ask those questions, like you said, TK, it does something in those two words you mentioned there that I just want to make sure everyone heard, and that is, you earn trust. And if we added a third word there, you earn their trust. And when you're asking those questions, so wait, whoa, so this isn't the paint color that you thought it would be? Is that correct? Well, I thought it would be a little bit darker. Oh, so you thought the paint color would be darker, you know, and you get them talking and getting clear. And how many times, TK, would it then not even become an issue? And then the boulder can roll. And that third step becomes a reality.
Right.
And that's...
So what if what they were saying was true, Chad? So let's go back to the paint sample, you know, the paint objection. And they showed you, hey, the paint really is the wrong color. How do you handle that?
Okay, I'll give you, TK, I'll even give you a bigger example than that, okay? So, and I talked to you about the standard of excellence that your restoration company had. You had an exit, and new ownership came in. And after you had exited, I stayed to help the company in the transition. And one of the individuals there made a mistake on somebody's property. Now, due to the state that you were working out of, there was a Super Bowl and there was spring training within a few months period of time. This individual could have rented their facilities for probably anywhere between $50,000-$60,000. And they were promised that it would be done in time for the Super Bowl. And then it wasn't. Then they were promised that it would be done in time for spring training. And it wasn't. And there were mistakes made along the way, to the point that they called me and said, Chad, we've got a problem. This lady's boulder has built up over the last 4 months because of mistakes that we've made. Can you help overcome her objection that wow. we actually built the builder. We built the boulder. Sorry. We built it because of the mistakes that we made. We need you to fix it. And so I called her on the phone, TK, and I just asked her, I wanted to get to the point quickly, and I knew there was a boulder. So I just asked her to describe the boulder for me, right? And she shared all these objections and frustrations that she had. Okay. TK, I spent the next 30 minutes on the phone with her, just acknowledging the boulder and asking questions, acknowledging the boulder, asking questions. Now, because there were so many mistakes made, there were multiple boulders to deal with. So I was dealing with boulder and then asking questions, boulder, asking questions, and each boulder would then roll by. Each boulder would then roll by. And at the end of the conversation, TK, she was thrilled with the outcome. She wasn't upset at all that she had lost $50,000 to $60,000. And she appreciated me taking the time and creating that connection with her. Because at the end of the day, what people crave, as we started this podcast today, TK, what people crave more than anything is connection. In a world that is becoming increasingly disconnected, people are seeking connection. And she connected with me, appreciated that I acknowledged all the boulders,
that's amazing,
asked more questions, and then we let the boulder roll.
That's amazing.
But
what a great example.
Well, but TK, it's like you and I've talked about. It is not an art. It is a science. It absolutely works. The boulder principle works. Acknowledge the boulder, ask questions, and let it roll. And it's powerful to see how you can get your team to enroll, how you can get your potential customers and clients to enroll, and your current clients and customers. You can get them to enroll in what you're doing when you leverage and utilize the boulder.
That's amazing.
Well,
great visual. That's an amazing story. Perfect example. Because it's hard.
It absolutely is, TK, but it takes work and discipline. TK, you and I have written a book on this. We've done trainings on this. We talk about it on the podcast, but it's something you and I have to work on every single day, because sometimes, even though I know it works, even though I've had all these experience with it, teaching, we wrote a book on it, but TK, it still takes practice, and you still have to do it all the time. You know, because there are some times when I end up getting crushed by the boulder and I'm like, oh man, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, going along with this one for our next episode, we need to continue on with this on why, when that boulder's coming at you, why you shouldn't say sorry. That's another big one. And how do you go around that? Why that is saying sorry can make it worse.
Right? So. Oh, TK, that is a whole another episode that we'll talk about down the road, because it's definitely a trap, another trap that you can most certainly step into if you're not careful.
Yeah.
But as we apply the boulder principle, TK, you and I know that it's changed our lives and made us that much more successful.
Absolutely.
And that's when we talk about communicate like the most successful leaders. It's utilizing these principles, and it will absolutely change your outcome. Because as TK Stratton always tells me, the best way to predict the future is to what, TK?
Create it yourself.
Go create it. TK, as always, love being with you. Have a tremendous day, everyone.